Hello again. Welcome to another edition of Big Chris Live, the live stream and then the podcast, which you can find everywhere in audio on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and DeanBlundell.com, our podcast network host. We're streaming live tonight via my Facebook fan page, Big Chris Radio, Chris with a K, and also to the DeanBlundell.com Twitter account and YouTube and Twitch, I believe. I don't even know, guys. Dean Blundell TV on Twitch. Yeah, we're also on Twitch. God, I am such a millennial. It's wild. Big Chris Live, episode number 45. Please welcome to the podcast Nick Chino, Tommy Gunn, and Scott Penfold. And before we introduce in length our guests, first, we have a sponsor here on the podcast. They started off their sponsorship last week on episode 44. Please welcome, and thanks to their sponsorship, House of Piss. Yes, friends, when you need a good old-fashioned family night out, please consider the House of Piss. They've got it all. Dog piss, cat piss, hamster piss. And introducing on November the 7th, they will be having wild game piss. You can get bison piss, deer piss, coyote piss, all your piss needs at House of Piss Family Restaurant. Thanks, guys. Thanks for bearing with me and my defecation related humor. So tonight's episode is called the Rock and Roll Roundtable, episode 45, and we're going to have different people representing different genres of rock and roll and throwing out a few questions and discussing what we like about these genres. We have one soldier down. Shout out to Hammer Dom from Hamilton, Ontario. He doesn't own a microphone. So he won't be joining us tonight. That's kind of a key component. He's kind of the opposite of guest number one for my introduction. Scott Penfold is with us, but by audio only. No webcam. You guys need to get together, Scotty.
Yeah, I know. I got to get on that, Christopher. Actually, you said you were going to come by and drop one off for me, and you didn't do that. So
I know. I still have the one that I meant to give you, too. So, I mean, that's fine. But thanks for calling me out on that.
No worries at all.
Yeah. But thanks for being with us, Scott Penfold, Loaded Radio. You can check out loadedradio.com, and it's everywhere, right, Scott?
Pretty much, yep.
Scott's representing metal this evening in the Rock and Roll Roundtable, obviously, because it's a metal streaming site. It's the hardest of the hard, eh, Scott?
Everything from hard rock to extreme metal, yeah. So, yeah, I'd say that's the old genre there, yeah.
What kind of extreme metal is, like, how extreme? Like ball gags and stuff, or...?
Like death metal and black metal. We play some of that stuff too. Try and cater to as many subgenres as possible. So
yeah,
everything. I mean, then you got Johnny Rude with the hair metal and stuff, and the glam metal, and we take it all the way to the, you know, Satan worshiping, you know, demonic, you know, Scandinavian or Norwegian metal that we, you know, just all the different stuff.
That's what I would call ball gag metal.
Yeah, well, if you want to call it that, sure. Or Cookie Monster metal, some people call it, whatever.
Scott, of course, we go back way back. And I just realized Nick Chino is back on the episode as well. We all go back kind of the same distance, actually. We all work together at Y108 in Hamilton. And I didn't even realize how Hamilton I've been this season thus far with John Harvey from Monster Truck. And the Knicks band Fool's Union was on last episode. That was a lot of laughs there, guys. So great having you back, Nick. And yeah, I'm not intentionally trying to be so Hamilton. I thought season one was very Kingston, too. A lot of the experience and friends that I've had back in Kingston way. But Nick, welcome back again to the podcast. And Nick, British rock. I mean, you or me or Scotty could have all, yeah, we could fight to the death to represent British rock here tonight. But yeah. Liam Gallagher, right? You're repping his t-shirt.
Yeah, man. You know, what did we call it back in the day? Y1 Oasis? Was that kind of great? Because the three of us, and that's the thing is, that was so special about it, because it's really hard to find other big Oasis fans out there. So for the three of us to meet at the station and be so big on Oasis, that's special.
And good time. It was, yeah. Nick, if you had to choose, Liam or Noel?
I'm more, even though I'm supporting Liam, I am more of a Noel guy, just because his songwriting and his guitar playing influenced me to become a musician. So But the two of them, you need the two of them to make Oasis, that's for sure.
Yeah, I agree. But again, I'm on the opposite side of the coin. I'm a parka monkey. I love Liam. I'm on team Liam for sure. I like Liam's solo stuff too, man. I always go to bat for Liam. Although Noel was good in the beginning. I liked his first couple of solo endeavors, but I felt like he just started to drone on. I don't even know what the word is for it. They're weirder. Yeah, for sure. Or not very good is another word for that as well. And Tommy Gunn, welcome. Tommy has been like on my ass for months to come and guest on the podcast. And he was the first person to send me a demo. You sent me a demo, dude, to come on the podcast. So how could I not have you on? And the demo was of you on the Naked News.
Great. Yeah, that was great. Did you catch that? I thought I'd just send it to you for your own entertainment.
Oh, no. Yeah, I'm not going to play it. I'm not going to play it. I'm not going to play it back here, but I do have a screen cap here.
Yeah, there you go.
There you go. Yeah.
That was a lot of fun, actually.
Yeah, doing the Naked News. Yeah, I can imagine. Yeah. What was tell us more. Tell us more. Fill us in.
It was funny because my cousin drove me to the show in Toronto to their station, and he was having a lot of fun behind the camera. I was just, you know, trying to be professional, but it was fun.
Yeah, I have a tough time being professional around naked people too, but it's hard. But you know, you have to you have to carry on.
Well, that takes it's from years of living in Hamilton with 19 strip joints, but now there's none.
Are there no strip joints in Hamilton?
I heard that. That one that was on Barton Street, is that one gone now too?
Hamilton Strip.
Yeah,
I don't live in Hamilton anymore, but I heard it's gone.
Oh, Nick, crazy.
I don't see them around as much anymore, but I have to maybe take a ride down on Barton Street and see what's what.
Yeah, I guess you're still Mr. Mountain. You're up on the mountain, eh?
Yeah, you know what? If anything, the mountain needs more strip clubs, I think.
Yeah, I'd love to see a West Mountain strip club. That would be hilarious.
Do right around the corner would be great.
Yeah, Mountain View, like right out over the city. Exactly. Well, great to have this ensemble here, and I also am excited to rep 90s grunge because you know, often I feel like it's an overlooked genre now. Like now that the 90s, like 1990 is, God, is it 40 years? No, 30. 30. Yeah. Anyways, whatever. It still feels like it's like seemingly been skipped over. You know, the 80s were celebrated. And now it's like all of a sudden they skipped over to the 2000s. Am I wrong saying that, or?
I don't think so. I think you are wrong to the extent that the early 90s certainly made a significant dent in the musical zeitgeist, if you would. However, I think the later 90s, yeah, I would agree with your statement more, that it's just sort of a kind of dissolved, a lot of one-hit wonders that sort of really... Just sort of hung on top 40 radio for a little too long, I think. I mean, songs like Closing Time and shit like that. I mean, not that there's anything wrong with it, but I mean, you get a lot of those kind of, you know, just sort of droll bands, but then they're still trying to do like Eddie Vedder's Gnarl, and you know, it's just
Space Hog.
And then Creed came along, and you know, Space Hog was more like David Bowie, that kind of a thing. Definitely, I'd say 95. Through 99 was just dumb in music. It was just really nothing good, and maybe that's what you were referring to. But early 90s, I think, were very, very powerful.
Like I mean, trust me, the critically, yes, critically acclaimed early 90s. But like you go into like what is sort of considered mainstream now. It's like I feel like Nirvana or like Soundgarden just aren't quite as like celebrated as say. You know, contemporaries, like, I don't know. I just don't feel like there's enough respect given to them. Like whether it's maybe it's like the award show crowds, you know what I mean? I guess, you know, like when I was growing up in the 90s, it felt like, you know, rock bands of the 80s still had, you know, some sort of cred, you know, right. Am I wrong?
No.
Yeah. All right.
Somebody else should talk to Nick or Tommy, please. Funny though,
because like I feel like this year, it's the 30th anniversary of a lot of those classic 90s albums, like 1991 in particular. It was Nirvana's Nevermind, Pearl Jam, Soundgarden, Bad Motorfinger, Metallica, Black Album. And they all came out within the span of 60 days. Chili Peppers, Blood Sugar, Sex Magik, all within a period of 60 days. That's all I've been all year long. All I've been hearing about is Nevermind. So I feel like it's it still gets its due. Maybe even a little bit too much.
Is it because I'm just like out of the loop? Maybe is it because I'm a new dad and like I'm just my head's not in the game. Like that's
possible, right? Not listening to 30-year-old music.
Yeah, well, I mean, no, but I mean, you know, that I'm not paying attention to, you know, I'm not following the right Twitter accounts, you know, I don't know.
Yeah. Man, you're probably better off avoiding Twitter.
Yeah, oh man, yeah, it's I'm addicted to Twitter, man. It's my number one network before any other.
I can't figure it out, man. Like you say something and then what?
Sometimes nothing, sometimes something.
I mean, like people just like, hey, tell me what your best song is. What's your favorite song? Like, I mean, like there's all kinds of things that I just don't get on that Twitter.
A lot of questions. There's always asking questions. You gotta ask a lot of polls,
stuff like that.
Polls. And is the dress blue or is the dress white? Kind of thing. So, all right, Tommy, by the way, is representing classic rock here on the panel here tonight for the Rock and Roll Roundtable. Tommy, what is it about classic rock that really turns your crank? I know Nick and Scott well enough to know, you know, what drives them for their, you know, particular genres here tonight. But what is it about the classic rock genre for you?
Well, I mean, like, I think classic rock is great music, you know, and I to me, it used to be a sound. And now it's if it's 40 years old or something, but it was an era in time, I think. But at the same time, it was quite the sound, you know. It was a sound, and that's what I like about classic rock, really. And that's why I try to create classic rock still. I call it classic rock, but it's new. You know what I mean? It's new today, but
yeah,
I mean, nobody's doing it anymore. And I think it was a lot of great music, a lot of great bands, a lot of great artists.
It's called classic for a reason. And so, by the way, you were just out in LA, right? You laid down a record or something. What? How was that? Are you back? Are you still there? Where are you?
Yeah, I'm still here, baby. Yeah, I'm here till the end of January. I'm doing a great album with some really great people. And this is my best writings yet. And it's got a real California vibe. And I'm very excited about it.
Yeah, I enjoy the California vibe. Scott, do you like the Nevada vibe?
Oh, yeah, if you're referring to Las Vegas, yeah.
I've spent a lot of time there. Is there anything else in Nevada?
Johnny Rude.
Right? Yeah, you know Johnny. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I spend a lot of time with my good friend and business partners down there. And I have some friends down there. And I lived there for a while. And, it's good. It's nice. It's warm. Very hot in the summer. It's a dry
Yeah, but the scene is good too, right? I mean, like there's you know, good folks down there, good music.
Oh, yeah, great. Definitely, you know what? There's when I first went down there, I didn't expect there to be that kind of a music scene in the local part of Las Vegas to be as flourishing as it was. And it's fantastic. I mean, it's the kind of place where, I mean, I think me and Johnny walked into a bar and it would have been like a Tuesday or Wednesday night. And on stage was like Bruce Kulick from Kiss playing, you know, along with, you know, a bunch of, I think it was Sin City Sinners or something. And that was like a Tuesday and the bar wasn't even full. I mean, that's just kind of how cool it is in Vegas when you walk into any place, because you don't know who you're going to see up on stage. Obviously, if you go to the strip, you have the shows, you know who you're going to see. But when you're talking rock and heavy music, it's when you go into those rock joints, it's like I mean, we used to hang out with Vinnie Paul there all the time. That was really cool. And it was just, and people didn't flock to the guy. I mean, of course, they would like to go up and say hi to him, but it was just like, you know, hey, it's Vinnie. You know, it was just part
of
it.
Yeah.
Which was really cool, you know?
Yeah.
It's like that here too. And I find that the musicians are, you know, they bend over backwards to help you too. So I've been really fortunate. I've wrote some great tunes with a really cool guy who's in December issue of Guitar Player magazine. His name's Fernando Perdomo. And I'm recording with some awesome musicians, like high quality musicians who just want to play, you know, and they want to help, and you know.
Yeah. There's a good saturation of talent there, of just, you know.
But the people themselves are so nice here. I mean, I'm coming from Toronto, and Toronto during COVID, everybody's me, and like really cold. Like, you know, I can't believe how people got really cold in Toronto as far as, you know, not being as nice. And here it's like total opposite. Everybody's super nice. And
right.
I would agree.
Yeah.
You agree, Scotty?
I think Toronto has gotten to be a very cold city. I agree with Tommy. Yeah, very much.
Yeah. I don't know. Nick Hamilton's still a love fest, isn't it?
Yeah. You know, I think it's been affected by COVID just like any other city. So that's obviously affected what people have been doing and how they've been acting. But I would like to think that Hamilton's always had a little bit of heart to it. And I think it still does. Yeah. It's starting to get back to normal. Yeah. So. You guys lived here. You guys know it. It's still there. And there's, you know, more stuff happening, more cool places. There's been a lot of revitalization with a lot of cool bars now and restaurants in the city that are popping up. So it's been good.
Yeah. So Tommy Gunn, if you had to pick a album from the classic rock genre that would be your album, the one that you say, hey, this is the one that I think represents everything I think is great about classic rock. What's that
album?
I
mean, like, holy cow, man. How can you say one album, honestly?
Oh, yeah.
One album for artists, maybe, you know. But an album that really did, I can name two albums that had a huge influence on me. And that is Venus and Mars by Paul McCartney and the Wings. And also ELO El Dorado. So those two had a huge impact on me.
Yeah. Nick, what about you? Sorry, go ahead, Tommy.
Well, my father, you know, he played in Crowbar. I don't know if you heard of Crowbar or what.
Yeah.
Well, my father played in Crowbar. He also played with Ray Manzarek. So when I was a kid growing up, like, I had bands in my house every day. You know what I mean? Like, there was somebody there recording, playing, rehearsing. So, like, this is my life, you know? Like, so I tried to do things a little differently with my children by working a steady job, but after they were raised, I went right back into my music, and that's, you know, maybe a late starter, but this is my whole life, you know, so.
Yeah. Just no, so Nick, for you, the album, what's the album?
For British rock, it's gotta be Oasis, indefinitely maybe. That's gotta be the one, because that's what really kicked off the Britpop invasion of the mid 90s. And when I listen back to that record, right from the get go, you got Rock and Roll Star kicking off an album. Is there a better album opener than Rock and Roll Star? A mission statement for a band that was about to take over the world. It's got to be perfect. Definitely.
You're just a poet when you speak about Oasis, Nick. You really are. but it's true. I would agree with you. I could corroborate that. It's just like, it's such an obvious one, but it's undeniable at the same time, right? Like, you could try and be coy about it, but why not say it, man? That's the album.
Yeah.
It's too bad that invasion was like, what, like 2.5 years?
Yeah, it was over quick.
It was a pretty short-lived British invasion, but it was a good one.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. Scotty, for you, the album that represents metal, or that you think that best encapsulates what's great about it to you?
That's difficult. I mean, I probably have to say Master of Puppets by Metallica. That would be a strong forerunner for what represents, I mean, what I love about metal. I think a lot of people I've interviewed in metal have agreed, I think, with that statement. But, I mean, there's so many incredible albums out there when it comes to metal. And, I mean, Ace of Spades by Motorhead. You got, there's so many. Number of the Beast by Iron Maiden. But, I mean, to really nail it down to one, I mean, certainly it would probably have to be Master Puppets would be up there. Or, you know, maybe Pantera's Vulgar Display of Power for a modern day album. The new Mastodon album is fantastic. See, the thing about metal is that every generation has so many forerunning albums that are just so poignant and just have are able to grasp that sort of consciousness really well. So it's a great question, man. It's tough. It's one that you could go on about forever, you know.
Yeah, Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's a cliche question, but it's one that I always find still to this day, no matter how many times I've had it, you know, in a college dorm room right until this moment, how much it, my opinion has changed and how much I enjoy having this conversation. Mm-hmm. So for me, in the 90s grunge, I'm going to go with, again, cliche, but never mind. I say it's the album that says it all, man. It's mission statement, like you say, Nick. You know, there's undeniable that that was the album that just blew the doors off that genre, made it all plausible. I'm sure Pearl Jam still would have had a great career, no doubt. But to make it like a movement, you know, I think Nirvana really did that. That would be my pick. So. Few other the cliche music questions. Best song from your genre to drive to, Scotty.
Oh, what was that? Was that
thing? Text. Best song from your genre to drive to. Windows down. It's a great day. Rubber on the road.
I mean, Deep Purple's Highway Star would be more classic rock, I think, wouldn't it? So I'll leave that one for Tommy. For a metal song to drive to, geez, can you come back to me on this one? I got to ponder that one for a bit.
I'll kick it off. Again, Nirvana, Breed for me. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Great tune. Yeah.
Yeah. Nick, Britpop?
I would probably say Oasis again. And the song would be Columbia from Definitely Maybe.
Yep.
That one, it's got like this really great guitar lick that kicks in, starts off with the drums, gets into an amazing, amazing chorus. It's just like, then it goes into the yeah, yeah, yeahs at the end. Definite cruising song.
Yeah, yeah. And Tommy, classic rock, the album, or the song to drive to.
Well, you know, it's funny, Scott, because after I mixed my last album with Nick Blagona, who did every Deep Purple album, he took me down to Cops Coliseum when Deep Purple was playing with Priest and introduced me to the band. So that was pretty cool.
Nice.
And Highway Star is a great song. However, I think more Ozzy, maybe, you know, something off Blizzard of Oz, you know, or, you know, some serious Sabbath, you know, definitely.
Okay.
I would agree with that.
Yeah. Sabbath, that crosses over to you, Scotty. Okay. Back to metal.
You know what? I'd probably say Pantera's Cowboys from Hell for me.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That riff, dude. You know, just that riff. So,
yeah. Have you ever heard that on FM rock radio?
Yes, I have. Have on you? My show, Unloaded Radio.
Unloaded Radio. Okay. Outside of that, though, like it.
There's one station that you and I know of in Ottawa, which played it a couple of times.
Oh, okay. Because, yeah, at 12:15 p.m., I'll never forget this.
Yeah.
This was at K-Rock in Kingston, and we were doing some kind of tour for a client who really loved the station, but he loved heavy metal. And they were trying to sell the client on, you know, buying a thing. And so they're taking him on a tour through the radio station, and they're in the master control. And he's like, yeah, so this is the thing. This is all the music here. And he's like, what's on now? I'm like, well, we're doing the All Request Nooner right now. And he's like, All Requests, is it really All Requests? And he's like, sure. He's like, how about Cowboys from Hell? And so the fucking boss fucking just threw Cowboys from Hell on at 12:15 p.m. in small town Kingston, Ontario.
That's glorious, man.
It was. Yeah, it was. That was a fucking great moment. And I was like, that's why I was glad I started working there. That was also, I was like, I walked away from that moment being like, okay, all right. You know, I think I made a good choice coming to work here.
That's one of those things. That's one thing I liked doing in FM radio, especially when you and I worked together with Nick there too, is like, I loved sort of manipulating the music meetings into putting like, you know, Oasis B-sides on the air for us and stuff like that, which I got acquiesce on the station, by the way, I'd like to say, you know, but when you can get those things on there and it's just like those little golden nuggets of awesomeness, I think it's great.
Yeah, when you get to spin something that you truly love, like a song that you truly love on the radio, which never happens. I mean, man, my first few years in radio, I was doing country music. I mean, every morning I wake up and play Cyndi Lauper. I mean, you don't always get to do the format, or not even if you're in the format of your choice, you don't always get to play the songs that you want to play. That's just the way it works. But when you get that moment, it feels good, right?
Absolutely.
Well, you know me, I did the Request Fest for how many years? Every Saturday night from 6 to midnight, I did Request Fest, and that was always – I snuck in some good ones on that one.
I know you're
You know, sometimes I'm like, you know, like really, it's everybody's dream to get a radio show or a Request radio show where you can really just play whatever you want. So that's kind of a dream, really.
Yeah. Well, I remember some late nights just sitting around in someone's basement getting basement drunk, and we just had the Request Fest on, and we'd be like, oh, my God, I can't believe Nick put that in.
Yeah, I know. It was great.
Yeah. That kind of sums up Hamilton for me. My whole time there.
Yeah, I remember both you and Scotty would call in all the time. You guys would always have to, you know, Scotty usually was some Oasis. He would always ask.
Yeah.
It was great.
So, all right, back to our list of stereotypical questions. Best song, we did best song to drive to, right? The best song for you to have sex to. The best getting laid soundtrack, Tommy Gunn.
Any song.
All right, moving on, because that's a great answer.
Nick. Me?
Yeah, Nick.
It was specifically still within the Brit Rock genre, right?
Yeah.
That's what we're talking about.
Yeah, I knew that would be tough for you because I was thinking about me for Brit Rock too, and I was like, man, there ain't a lot of fucking songs. There's a lot of happy, like skipping down the street songs, but
like I wouldn't think Oasis is a particularly sexy band. You know, like they have some, they are, you know, they do. I'm trying to think of some other ones. You know, like I don't know, like Spice Girls, Two Become One. There's a good sex song.
If you want to come out, my lover.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But, you know, Oasis, again, Columbia's kind of sexy as far as Oasis goes. Again, I'll pick that one. Or Supersonic, maybe.
Oh, yeah.
You know, if you want a longer song for a longer session with your partner, maybe some Champagne Supernova, it kind of builds. There's crescendos happening on that. So that might work too.
Nick, are you single? No.
I am now.
Oh,
I was in a relationship for a long time. And
I know. Yeah, you were. Yeah.
Yeah, really.
Oh, wow, that's a bummer, man.
If you ladies want to get together and listen to Oasis.
I was going to say she didn't want to fuck to Oasis, did she? That was.
I feel like we did at least probably once or twice. I don't know. Like dating me? How would I let that pass?
That was your secret fetish.
Yeah, exactly. Like if you really love me, this is what you're going to do.
All right, Scotty, over to you. The best song from your genre to make it the love
to have sex to. I think anything by Deftones, I think works.
Sex to.
Yeah, I mean, I think. I mean, it depends on the type of personality you are. I mean, some people fuck the death metal. I mean, you know, it's genetic because they dig that. I mean, I guess it's whatever you're into, right?
Cookie Monster.
Like extreme speed metal. I mean, perhaps, you know.
Yeah, like the kind of sex that like you're trying to turn each other's genitals into dust, like two coked out monkeys.
Yeah, it sounds like applause when you're having sex, you know, like that.
Applause.
It's that rapid.
Classic.
Or when you get the offbeat applause too, that's the balls slapping too.
And yeah, there you go. Yeah.
The secondary slap, yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to actually, obviously, I have a lot of dark things in my mind swirling around. I'd love to talk about balls slapping more, but I'm gonna pick my song for the best song from the genre to have sex to. Best song in 90s grunge to have sex to. I'm sorry, not in an aggressive manner, in a truly love making manner. Temple of the Dog, Hunger Strike. I mean,
nice.
Am I right?
Yeah,
I don't mind stealing brand.
All right, I think Reach Down would be more something better. I mean, Hunger Strike, really.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know, man. I just no.
Yeah, sure. Whatever works for you, dude. I mean, it's a personal thing, you know. It's whatever gets your crank going. I mean, whatever.
I should have just fucking if I had gone first and not let Tommy gone first, I would have said just any album. That was a great.
Anyway,
Scotty, how's loaded radio.com? Tell us about it, man. Give us a plug. Plug your shit.
Yeah, loadedradio.com. It is a massive news megasite, constantly updated with your hard rock and metal news. Also, live 24-hour digital quality radio station, complete with tons of shows that air out of Toronto and Las Vegas. We have a weekly podcast, much like you do here, Chris, where we interview people in hard rock and metal, some of the more notable artists, which is really cool. It's a great thing to be doing that for a few years now. And yeah, and of course an FM radio show. So I mean, it's like, it's a whole bunch of stuff. Loaded Radio, but loadedradio.com has got everything on there. And if you dig hard rock and metal, well, that's where you got to go.
Yeah, I always appreciate your hustle in the hard rock and metal genres, Scotty. And yeah, if I'm ever going to listen and want to fuck to Norwegian speed metal, loadedradio.com is my first choice, my first destination.
Well, we play more than that, but yes.
No, I know. I understand. I'm just joking. Just all jokes. Nick Chino, we had you on the full episode with the Fool's Union, but plug that, my friend. And also your podcast too, What the Rock? No, what's it called again? Sorry.
It's called Rock Squad. So it's on YouTube and Spotify and everywhere. It's just me and my bandmate, Dave. We just do kind of like a rock music news show where we talk about all the latest topics. So, you know, this week we were talking about Metallica. We were talking about Foo Fighters into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. We're doing that. So you can check that out. And yeah, the band's called Fool's Union. We just released a new single called Maniacs. We got some other cool stuff coming out. You can check us out everywhere, Spotify. You can check us out on Bandcamp and foolsunion.com.
And Tommy Gunn, also from The Naked News. Tommy Gunn, thanks for being on with us tonight, man. Thanks for joining us from LA. Again, how can people find you, man? Find your music that you're working on right now so people can stay updated.
Well, I have one link to all my links, and it's sociatap.com/Tommy Gunn, all capitals, all one word.
Okay.
That's it.
All right.
You get all my links. It's all there.
It's out there.
Great app, actually.
Yeah, it sources everything. It funnels everything into one place.
Yep. Socia app.
Okay.
Sociatap, pardon me.
Okay. Tommy Gunn, appreciate your time. And again, also thanks to our sponsor, House of Piss Family Restaurant. By all means, check them out. It's a family established, locally owned and operated business for over 25 years with all your favorites, cat piss, dog piss, hamster piss, and introducing on November the 7th, wild game piss. They'll be offering coyote, deer, and bison piss. Bring the whole family to House of Piss Family Restaurant.
I could go for a piss now.
Yeah, me too.
I know. I also
haven't had a good piss in a while, man. I could definitely use one.
You know, sometimes, you know, when you have to piss and you pee yourself, it feels good for like 2 seconds, and then the shame sets in. But for that moment, feels good, right?
Well, House of Piss apparently is a good place. So,
well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. I drank too many of these President's Choice soda waters tonight, so I got to go too. But thank you guys for being part of the roundtable tonight, and we'll talk soon. Okay,
absolutely.
Thanks everybody. Thanks for watching. And again, subscribe. BigChrisRadio.com. Big Chris live on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and all the usual places. Thanks to our podcast sponsor and home, DeanBlundell.com.
What happens when we play outside? We become healthier, both mentally and physically. We become more creative and more focused. We connect with nature, each other, and ourselves. Let's Take This Outside, a new podcast hosted by me, Marianne Iveson, an aspiring outdoor athlete and nature lover. I speak to athletes, outdoor professionals, and scientists about their connection to nature, how it affects their performance and everyday life. Let's Take This Outside, available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Podcasts, and at letstakethisoutside.ca.
I'm Jeff Woods, and I'm shining a light on music and the rock stars who make it.
He just was one of those people. He stood out.
He was a magic guy. He really was a magic guy. We all have force. He had the same amount of force as we all have.
This was before Led Zeppelin. Robert was full on. I mean, he was Led Zeppelin without the band behind him. He had the hair, the jeans, the whole thing, you know, and he was amazing.
The Records and Rockstars podcast, heard around the world and yours to hear wherever you get podcasts. All the episodes from JeffWoodsRadio.com.